Are you ready for the end of the world?
No, not the end of the world.
Not yet. This is your community spirit. Show about caring, sharing, and preparing for the changes needed in the world as we know it.
I like that end of the world. That's a better end of the world.
That's a better response to the end of the world. Let's bring back the circle again. Circle of family, the circle of friends, the circle of being.
Oh, yeah.
Wake up and be healthy and therefore wealthy to the peace and joy of Mother Earth. This is your community spirit. My name is Treesong.
And this is Orda Energy Mon.
And I might actually be awake now. I think so. That woke me up. Took a little while.
For immediate release, October is Farm to School Month. The farmers market in Carbondale are spreading the word about Farm to School Month. October is the time for pumpkins, hoodies, leaf pile jumping. But it's also the perfect time to learn about how food gets in our kids' mouths or doesn't. Farm-to-school programs are beneficial for kids, farmers, local economies, and our environment. Become a part of the conversation by learning about your local farm-to-school scene. Join us next Saturday morning from 8 until noon at the Carbondale Farmers Market in the Westtown Mall parking lot and the Community Farmers Market in the east side of the high school, the community high school. So that is Saturday.
Yeah, that's Saturday.
Meet the farmers, talk to the farmers. This would be the time to get your pumpkin also for the pumpkin race.
Yeah. It's good to know your farmers. I eat every day. I don't know about you, but I eat every day pretty much. And
do you like knowing what kind of food you put there?
I do, yeah. It's good to know what food you're eating, where it's coming from, who's growing it.
Because, I mean, part of food is people don't seem to realize it, but it also feeds your spirit.
Yeah.
You know, if you're eating bad food, well, you feel bad. I mean, there's good food for the body, but there's also good food for the soul. So, all right. October is also Energy Awareness Month. But
so I've heard.
It's like, speaking of energy, JCAR delays fracking decision. What? I saw someone recently told me, they said, fracking is my new favorite cuss word.
Yeah.
They say
what the frack.
So, a legislative panel says it wants more time to decide whether rules written by the Department of Natural Resources, DNR, to govern hydraulic fracturing in Illinois could take effect. The legislature's Joint Committee on Administrative Rules received proposed rules for high-volume oil and gas extraction from the DNR on August 29th, after the agency reworded some rules based on more than 30,000 comments on its original draft. But, of course, industry and environmental groups say they would ask JCAR to seek dozens of changes. So I think it's a good law if nobody likes it. Maybe not. Just like... The panel originally had 45 days until mid-October to act on the rules, but exercised the 45-day extension, asking DNR to ensure the rules comply with the intent of the law passed last year after intense negotiations that included industry and environmental groups.
Yeah, and just coincidentally, this after the extension, it's going to be 2 days after the election that they make this decision.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm sure that's pure coincidence. They weren't actually just intentionally delaying this until after the election.
Because it is a pretty hot,
oily
topic. So, and now, an industry coalition has outlined more than 65 areas of concern, including rules that it believes violate the legislation compromise. Among the objections is language that says DNR can consider overall health and environmental impacts of multiple wells while evaluating a permit for a single well.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, we have too many wells in this area. We, you know, think the cumulative effect might be overwhelming.
Yeah. I'm still surprised that they're admitting that they're opposed to that. I mean, you would think you would do cumulative impacts because it's not like you're just going to have one well. I mean, sure, you could, if you put in 100,000 wells, and each person says, oh, I'm not the one who caused cancer.
Well, I don't think it'll be 100,000, but in that one county in Pennsylvania, they had over 1,000.
Yeah.
In one county. So, now, on the other side, environmental groups are also seeking changes, including to provisions that cap the total amount that companies can be fined. Some groups are also asking Jay Carr to prohibit the rules entirely, thus restarting the rulemaking process.
Yeah.
Fracking opponents fear it will cause pollution and health concerns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which has been borne out in a lot of other areas.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I've been reading some online commentary by the pro-fracking people, and they just had a meeting recently, too. But I honestly was naive. I thought that once more evidence came out saying that there's evidence of water contamination from fracking, that they would have to change their talking points. But their talking points are still, no, there's no evidence that it contaminates water. Even though there has been several studies that have come out recently saying it does, they still just blatantly say, no, it doesn't.
So can environmental groups sue the person for lying?
I mean, maybe, if you're...
Does that happen? I mean, politicians lie all the time and nobody takes them to task.
Yeah. I mean, that's the challenge, is finding a way to challenge
so
lies.
What?
I guess some people...
I mean, if someone says something that's blatantly untrue...
Yeah.
How come they can't be taken to task for that immediately?
Yeah, it could be considered a kind of fraud depending on the context they're using it in.
So people are allowed to lie?
Well, we'll find out, won't we?
Yeah, it's like...
We'll see if they get away with it. I know I was brought up taught not to lie, but not everyone was brought up the same way, I guess.
Okay, it's... Well, that's true. You're not supposed to lie in everyday life, unless it's in business.
Yeah, in business.
It's just like...
It's funny how some people have that, you know, and I've seen that too, you know, some people who, in other regards, you know, like they love their family and they care about... You know, all of the other things in their community. But then, when it comes to money, they just sort of go crazy.
Yeah, it's like, is it beneficial to all concerned?
Yeah. Well, speaking of things going crazy, let's get to this next news story here. The planet has just had its warmest September on record, continuing a hot streak.
Okay, well, that's old news. October is under.
Yeah.
So that means the world is balanced. Whatever.
Yeah. If we have one month that isn't the hottest month ever of that month, then surely it's not a pattern.
But it is the under normal. I mean, it's like, it's to the other extreme.
Yeah. Well, I'll be surprised. We've gone, I believe we're still on the, like, 300 some month streak of higher than average temperatures globally.
Yeah. I mean, every month of this year have been hotter than recorded history.
Yeah.
So it's not even, they're saying September is the hottest on record, but it's been month after month after month.
Yeah.
And that, does that, I mean, that includes our winter. They're talking about the planet.
Yeah, it's the whole planet, yeah.
When we were having those extreme cold, on the other end of the planet, they were having extreme heat. They were having drought.
Yeah,
you know, so.
There are things that happen outside of the Midwest. I know it's hard to wrap your mind around sometimes, but...
I wonder if people actually listen to us outside the Midwest.
I wonder,
Every once in a while, we should get an email from someone just to tell us, hey, I listened to you in Antarctica or something.
Yeah, email us at info@yourcommunityspirit.org and let us know where you're listening from. So, yeah, September, warmest since records began in 1880.
Oh, come on. That's just like they, you know, what about like, you know, a couple thousand years ago?
I mean. Yeah. Well, I guess the humans weren't keeping such detailed records back then. But, yeah, so according to new data from NASA, it continues a trend of record-breaking or near-record-breaking months, including May and August of this year. And like we were saying, you know, all of the months for the past 20 or 30 years have been hotter than average. These are the ones that have been the hottest on record.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, this September was the hottest one on record.
So, I mean, there's a trend of heat going up, but now it's, like, the hottest ever.
Yeah, the hottest May ever, the hottest August ever. And Dr. Gavin Schmidt, climatologist and climate modeler at NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies, said last month that although these temperatures records are significant, they're one piece of the data that points toward the long-term trends of warming. So it is, like we said, though, it is a long-term trend. If it were just one hot month, you couldn't necessarily be sure.
One hot mess, you mean?
One hot mess. The Earth is turning into one hot mess.
I mean, so it's, you know, he cautions against focusing on one month or one year, but more like looking at the trend that it is steadily going up.
Yeah. And the trend...
And quickly. I mean...
Yeah.
Quick, I mean, part of it is the scientists are freaking out because this is quicker than they ever predicted.
Yeah.
They said it was going to go up, but...
Yeah, and when you think about it, like my, you know, 20 or 30 years for my sister's entire life, my fiance's entire life, every single month of their life has been hotter than average because we're on a growing heat trend. It's just crazy to think about. Their whole lifetime has been a lifetime of global warming.
Maybe because they were born, they're heating up the planet.
Yeah, they're turning it hot. Yeah.
See, you were supposed to say that about your fiance, not me.
Yeah.
California drought worsened by climate change. California's catastrophic drought has most likely been made worse by man-made climate change, according to a report released Monday by Stanford University. But scientists are still hesitant to fully blame the lack of rain on climate change. Well, they like basing things on data.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like hard to ask nature to provide data, huh?
Yeah.
The research, published in the Bulletin of the American Meteorological Society as part of a collection of reports on extreme weather events in 2013, is one of the most comprehensive studies linking climate change and California's ongoing drought, which has caused billions of dollars in economic damage. The report found that high-pressure ridges like the one that stubbornly parked itself over the Pacific Ocean over the past two winters, blocking storms from hitting California, are much more likely to form in the presence of man-made greenhouse gases. The ridge, dubbed the Ridiculously Resilient Ridge by the researchers. Yeah. Sometimes scientists have jokes.
Yeah, they gotta have fun.
Or the triple R. You know, it says triple R on most reports, but what they really call it. Parched the state during the past two rainy season. Quote, you can visualize it as a fairly large boulder in a small stream. End quote, said Daniel Swan, a lead author on the report, which says the phenomenon has caused storms to bypass not only California, but also Oregon and Washington, pushing rain as far north as the Arctic Circle. So the triple R events are three times more likely to occur today than in pre-industrial climates.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, and that's, I mean, people try to dodge responsibility by saying, oh, it wasn't 100% certain that it was 100% caused by climate change. But even if you say, like, let's say it's 50% caused by climate change, and it's causing billions of dollars of damage, that's a lot of cost to the economy. I mean, never mind the whole cost to all of the life out there, but...
You're pointing something really important out. You know, the economy, that the environment actually does affect the economy.
Yeah.
And, I mean, people constantly say, let's save the planet. Well, the planet's going to survive. Let's save the planet so we don't become extinct.
Yeah, let's keep it habitable for mega fauna.
mega fauna.
like creatures larger than lichen and bacteria.
So the environment affects the economy. What else does it affect?
Yeah. It also affects national security.
What?
Yes, immediate risk to national security posed by global warming.
That very far right-wing leaning organization.
Yeah. All of those hippies in the Pentagon, you know.
Oh, this is a report from the Pentagon.
Yeah. Now, this actually isn't a first. The Pentagon has talked about climate change before. But this is the first one I've seen where they post it as an immediate threat. You know, they've talked before about long-term threats from climate change, but now they're saying that the threat is immediate. Pentagon released a landmark report this week declaring climate change as an immediate risk to national security.
And that's in quotes. I mean...
Yeah, it's quote. They're quoting... The document says immediate risk to national security and outlining how it intends to protect bases, prepare for humanitarian disasters, and plan for global conflicts. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel unveiled the plan at the Conference of Defense Ministers of the Americas in Peru, where he said defense leaders, quote, must be part of this discussion on climate change. Militaries, he added, quote, must be clear-eyed about the security threats presented by climate change, and we must be proactive in addressing them. It's worth pointing out that Hagel led an effort to kill the 1997 Kyoto Protocol when he served in the U.S. Senate. So here's someone...
So he's causing this.
Yeah. When he was a senator, he was saying, no, I don't believe in this climate change stuff. But now he is embracing upcoming U.N. negotiations in Lima, Peru, aimed at developing a new global agreement. So people can learn a lesson and change their minds and face a crisis.
So a quote from him, climate change is a threat multiplier because it has the potential to exacerbate many of the challenges we confront today, from infectious disease to armed insurgencies, and produce new challenges in the future,
yeah,
he said.
One of the biggest examples for me on my mind is I watched that series, Years of Living Dangerously, the Showtime climate change series. And one of the big examples they explored was Syria. Because a lot of people don't know this, but right before the internal conflict started happening in Syria, there was a big drought for several years. And it was a very unusual drought. I mean, they occasionally get droughts there, but it was a several-year drought.
Well, you remember how droughty it was, you know, in the summer?
Yeah.
When it's that dry, you kind of go a little crazy.
Yeah, you do.
I mean, I wonder if there is any statistics to say how much our crime went up during that time. Now, it was only a short period, as in the whole summer.
Yeah.
But, I mean, imagine a drought like California has for years.
Yeah.
I mean...
And imagine that in a region that's not as wealthy as California, and conflict ensues. You know, people started fighting over who gets access to the water. People started fighting over not having enough food. And then people often don't connect the dots because, you know, the war breaks out a couple years later. But if it's caused by famine and the famine is caused by climate change, then we've already started our climate conflicts.
What I think most interesting about this Pentagon report is they released it to the public.
Yeah.
This 20-page report, 2014 Climate Change Adaptation Roadmap. Now, we do have a link to it if you want to receive it. Send us an email, info@yourcommunityspirit.org. This 20-page report warns that rising sea levels could flood coastal military bases around the world, while droughts and extreme weather could leave military training areas vulnerable, hinder the execution of amphibious landings, or complicate surveillance and reconnaissance capability.
Mm-hmm.
It cautions that the opening of the once frozen Arctic sea lanes will require significant monitoring to, quote, ensure stability in this resource-rich area.
Mm-hmm.
The United States, it says, must also be alert to how climate change can leave already weak nations more vulnerable, from restricting food and water to compelling mass migration.
Yeah. That's why some of the climate activists are using the term climate disruption instead of climate change, or because it creates a lot of disruption both in the climate and in the social systems. I think part of why they release this to the public is that they know that Congress has a lot of climate science deniers in it. You know, they're like, let's release this to the public because the public will care more than Congress.
I don't think, I mean, if they did, they would, I mean, they could share this with Congress privately.
Yeah, they could.
You know, I mean,
they thought Congress would just ignore it, probably.
Or maybe they have. Maybe they released this at the beginning of the year, and nobody has done anything about it, so now they've released it to the public.
Yeah.
So, but it is only 20 pages, so maybe this is like, you know, the one scrubbed of any actual information.
Yeah.
Just, it's a synopsis of their detail report that they provided to Congress.
Yeah, it could be.
Because I'm sure they have a detailed list of who is vulnerable and where it's vulnerable and, you know, what they're going to plan to do to make it so that things won't escalate too much.
Yeah.
You know. One interesting study I saw was a big town that now has increased diseases because they used to be up on the side of a mountain where it stayed cool. And, you know, basically, mosquitoes didn't come up there because it was too cold for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, winter happened, but now it doesn't happen. And now they had built, basically originally had built this city outside of the mosquito area, up high enough out of the mountain. And now the mosquito area has encroached upon the city.
Yeah.
And they're getting all kinds of diseases now. So that was interesting. Not to live there, but to read about.
To read about, yeah. That's the gifts brought to us by climate change.
How one building is changing the world. It used to be that the Built-Lit Foundation saved the planet the old-fashioned way, putting its money behind campaigns to spare old-growth forests, stop mines in Alaska, and clean up toxic waste. Recently, Bullitt tried a new tack for changing the world. It built something, not just anything. It's what the foundation CEO, Dennis Hayes, hey, is that the guy who started Earth Day?
I don't know.
The guy named Dennis Hayes was like one of the people who instigated the first Earth Day.
It would explain why he's up to this.
Calls, quote, the most efficient office building in the world and likely the most efficient building in the world, period. The much-beloved Bullitt Center features a canopy of solar panels that generates all the electricity used on site, a green roof seated with microorganisms that captures and cleans rainwater, giant floor-to-ceiling windows that open and close automatically to regulate the temperature, and a fleet of composting toilet that looks like...
Army of Daleks. What's from Doctor Who.
Oh, okay. I've never seen... someone's going to spank me now.
Yeah.
I've never seen Doctor Who.
Yeah, it's one of the villains from Doctor Who.
And I don't know. I don't have time to watch TV, so...
Mm.
I know, and I've been holding back because I knew as soon as I start watching that, I'll never stop.
Yeah, the floodgates.
So...
So, yeah, I mean, that's a lot of cool features, and it's inspiring changes in other places, too. Like, they had this material that they were working on. Where is it? Yeah, one of the products that they were doing bids on different products for, like, caulking and such, and one of the places that manufactured it had phthalates in it, and they decided to create a new line of products without phthalates, just... in order to be more environmentally friendly.
I like the quote, phthalates cause is a cell death in your man parts.
Yeah.
It just causes cell death in your man parts.
Yeah. Once he realized that, he consulted with his colleagues and his wife and decided not to have that in the recipe anymore. So it's changing the way that people view building and business.
Yeah, so there's a really detailed article about this. Bullitt isn't stopping there. The foundation has just signed a first-in-the-nation agreement with the local utility that will allow the foundation to sell the energy it is saving with all its whiz-bang energy efficiency features, otherwise known as negawatts. You know. All right.
Yeah.
So. Today is Wear Something Gaudy Day.
Some people celebrate that every day.
Just like, oh man, I need to like, I don't know. Do I I probably have gaudy stuff. I usually just trot that out for Thanksgiving. Halloween.
Yeah.
It's like.
Yeah, Saturday is International Newspaper Carrier Day. I remember being a paper boy when I was in high school and delivering papers at, I don't know, 5 or 6 in the morning.
Are you going to participate in No Beard Day?
No.
Ever?
I'm keeping my beard.
It's just like. Sunday is Evaluate Your Life Day.
Oh.
Tuesday is Babbling Day.
We're celebrating Babbling Day early.
Just like National Pumpkin Cheesecake Day.
Ah, that sounds good.
Wednesday is National Nut Day. We're celebrating that early too. And Thursday is National Mole Day. So we mentioned that it is, it is Energy Awareness Month.
Yeah.
I forgot what else we mentioned, what month it is. The Farm to School Month.
Yeah.
It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Adopt the Shelter Dog Month. National Vegetarian Month. And Sarcastic Month.
Oh, I would never celebrate Sarcastic Month.
Oh, I was going to say. And then Seafood Month. I celebrate every time I see food, I eat it. So.
Yes, so some happenings. We have local things happening in the local community. This is LGBTQ History Month, October 1st through October 31st.
It's interesting. This is the first time that it's actually the month, because usually they start mid one month and finish mid the next month.
Yeah.
So it's like a month over 2 months.
Yeah. Well, this one is actually the full month of October. They've got all sorts of exciting events going on. You can check out the LGBTQ Resource Center on the SIU website for all the details.
And we mentioned the Farmers Market. Carbondale Community Farmers Market is Saturdays 8 until noon at the Carbondale Community High School on the west side of town. And it is, again, Farm to School Month.
Yeah.
So.
And it's good to go to the farmer's market and get food directly from your farmer. If you get food in a can or in a box, you're never entirely sure what was actually in there.
Well, yeah.
But if the farmer hands it to you, you
even
know.
Even if it has the ingredients, you're not sure. It says it has corn in it.
Yeah.
But is it corn that's 5 years old, or is it corn that was grown on top of a waste management site?
Yeah, you never know.
It's like, keep Carbondale Beautiful Cleanup Saturday at 9 a.m. at Attics Park on North Wall Street. So this is their monthly cleanup. Volunteers should meet at 9 a.m. wearing closed-toed shoes and weather-appropriate clothing. Bring a water bottle if you think you'll need it. If you have plastic grocery bags laying around, bring a bunch. They'll have giant orange bags and gloves. Meet at the parking lot at the south end of the park, and that's Attic Park. So.
Yes, it's a good time.
Saturday at 9 a.m.
Also coming up this weekend on Sunday, the Fuller Future Festival.
I'm glad you said that, because my F is kind of broken sometimes.
Yeah. So Fuller Future Festival coming up on Sunday, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Guyon Auditorium and Morris Library. This is the third annual Fuller Future Festival. This year we turn toward the future by honoring our past. What do we make of the incredible legacy of sustainability that has been bestowed upon us? As part of that legacy, they're inviting Allegra Snyder Fuller. And yes, you might have guessed by her last name, she is related. She's the daughter of Buckminster Fuller and Anne Hewlett Fuller. She's the founder of the Buckminster Fuller Institute in Brooklyn and a pioneer of the field of dance ethnology. So she's coming on Sunday as one of their speakers. They also have other speakers as well. And that is on Sunday, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Guyon Auditorium in Morris Library at SIU.
And, I mean, this is a big deal. I mean, I have been studying sustainability for years. And before I ever came to Carbondale, you know, Bucky was like my hero. And he was an SIU professor from 59 to 71.
Yeah.
And kind of the founder of sustainability. I mean, that people say he was the founder of sustainability. He invented, you know, the geodesic dome.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, do you remember that dome? I think this is the same dome that they had set up on SIU campus.
Yeah, this is actually the one that was set up on his dome home. The dome home that they're restoring to be a museum, this was set up to cover it while they were doing the restorations.
So now they're setting up at Gaia House, right next to Gaia House. There's the labyrinth that, what, in the 70s, there was a dome place there that was a drug rehab center where people came to get treatment.
Yeah, it was called Synergy.
Synergy. So if you would like to help put up a dome and be part of the Bucky legacy, it's being put up right now.
Yeah. As we speak, there are people working hard to put it up, and we will go join them.
And they need many hands, because many hands make, what, light work?
Yes.
So if you would like to be light, the Guy House Interface Center is on the south end of, what, 913 South Illinois?
Yeah, 913 South Illinois.
On Wednesdays, the SIU Sustainable Vegetable Farm is set up in the Fainter Breezeway. It says, and the Ag Building.
Yeah,
so they do dual.
They're so popular, they've got two locations now. It's Wednesday, noon to 4 p.m., Fainter Breezeway and Ag Building. And once again, you know, an opportunity to get some local veggies. And you know what you're eating when you get it from the farmers.
Well, this is really cool because this is student farmers.
Yeah.
You know. So they're learning from farmers and learning from each other and growing very, very colorful, beautiful vegetables.
Yeah, I've had some of their stuff. It's delicious. And we'll do one quick shout-out, too, for this event. The movie and pizza party is coming up not this Friday, but next Friday, October 24th at 7 p.m. at Guy House Interfaith Center. Now, if you go online on Facebook and find the Facebook events, then you can still vote on which movie they're going to watch next Friday.
Oh, so that's why you're talking about it this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get to vote on which film you want to... You get to vote on what kind of pizza, too?
Well,
I want pizza with vegetables.
Yeah. You can certainly make your suggestions and see what you get.
That has been another exciting... I don't know how we always jam so much information into a half hour, but we do.
Yeah.
If you missed all the stuff we talked about, every once in a while, Treesong remembers to put the show up on our website.
Yeah.
Yourcommunityspirit.org. And it's also, what is that called? Podcasted.
Yeah, it's also a podcast.
Yeah, so it automatically downloads the new episode when it's loaded up.
Yeah.
So, Treesong gets to be all techie and do that. So
yeah.
I'm glad, because every once in a while someone says, I don't have a chance to listen to it live, which you could on the internet or on the radio.
Yeah.
But we tell them, hey, you can listen to it on the internet later.
Yeah.
No excuses.
No excuses. Either way, you can listen whenever
you
like.
Now, if you say we don't like you, that's not an excuse.
Yeah. All right. Well, we hope you've enjoyed it. It's been exciting and informative for us. So hopefully you learned something too. It's wonderful weather out there. So enjoy that wonderful weather.
This weekend is Vulture Fest in Makanda. You know, a lot of live arts and crafts happen there, along with live music. So the Valley of the Arts is happening this weekend. Perfect time to get out into nature and check out the Valley of the Arts.
Yes, enjoy.
I almost forgot to talk about that. Just like...